Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and read from verse 1. It says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. You know, when you hear the word commandment, it just means the word of God. The word of God. In the New Testament, in fact, if you read Psalm 119, David uses many times to describe the word of God. He says, your tributes, your rule, your commands. So when he says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live. That you may live. So God is saying that every word that you hear me speak, you should be diligent about it. You should be diligent in remembering it and making use of it. Because in my word, you will have life. You see, the reason God is asking them to observe his commandments, he gives us the reason, that you may live. God wants us to live. You know, not just to exist. There is a difference between existing and living. When you live, the power of God, the grace of God, the blessing of God is flourishing in your life. Hallelujah. It says you will live and multiply and go in and possess. Keep going. Hallelujah. And possess the land of which the Lord swore to your father. So God is speaking to the people. He says, look, I want you to remember one thing. The commandments that I've given you. That's what will sustain you. And that's what will bring to you everything that I have for you. Everything. Now, this is important for us New Testament believers. Everything that God has for us is in his word. God has nothing for us anywhere else. So he tells the people, if you take my commandments, you will live. If you take my commandments, you will multiply. You will increase. And if you take my commandments, it will bring to you everything. You are able to possess. You are able to grasp. You are able to receive everything that I have for you. Hallelujah. So God is highlighting and stressing, and he's making it clear in very clear terms, the importance, the benefits, and the necessity of his word. Let's go to verse number 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years. I want you to mark and remember those times, those words, 40 years. In the wilderness, to humble you and to test you. God says, I led you through the wilderness. I took you through all of the years that you spent in the wilderness to do one thing to you, to humble you. Did you know that everything that God, all of the great things God does in your life, it is designed to humble you? What does it mean to humble you? To let you know that it is not your power. You see, any person who thinks it's their power, then they are not yet humble. Hallelujah. It says to humble you and to test you. To know what was in your heart. Whether you will keep what? His commandments. It comes back to his word. So everything that is happening all around you is to humble you and to test you. So the real test we are facing in life is whether we will do what? We will remember and keep his commandments. This is a big deal. As far as God is concerned in heaven, what he is looking at when he looks at your heart is whether you will keep his word, whether you will make his word the priority in your life. God's word matters so much to God because God's word is God. You see, you cannot know God more than you know his word. See, someone says, I know God. I love God. I have so much relationship with God. The way you contact God is through his word. In fact, God says, I have exalted. This is massive. God said, I've exalted my word above my name. That's a powerful thing. What God is saying is that in order to come to me, I've made my word the only access. So if a person says they come to God, but they do not honor his word, they can't touch God. The way to touch God, the way to reach God, is through his word. His word is highly exalted. And you know, the reason we give priority to the word in this church is because the word is everything. And you will begin to see as we go on, there are many things, you know, in Christianity, you find that people go after, you know, maybe miracles and signs and all of that. You can be deceived by miracles. You can be deceived. In fact, the Bible talks about lying, signs, and wonders. But the word of God will always keep you on track. And really, miracles and signs are where? In the word. So if I get the word, I get all the miracles, I get all the signs. I'm not to go after signs. That's why the Bible says signs and what? Shall do what? They follow you. Hallelujah. So it says he wants to know, God wants to know whether the word is going to be the key thing in your life. He's testing us. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. So he humbled you. Allowed you to do what? To hunger. So when they were hungry, there was a purpose to their hunger. What was the purpose? We'll see as we go on. God allowed you to hunger. What does hunger mean? Hunger is the alert system that lets you know your body needs what? Your body needs food. So hunger is good. Is hunger not good? It's a good thing. Can you imagine you are never hungry? And you never eat. What's going to happen to the body? You're going to be malnourished. All of the systems and the organs will shut down. And eventually what will happen? The person will die. So hunger is not a negative. So God says, in fact, if God gives you hunger, you should say, Father, I thank you for hunger. The Bible says, blessed are they who do what? Who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There has to be hunger. But listen, God is telling them the reason for hunger. He says, to hunger, so when you were hungry, I fed you with what? With manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. And he did it for what? Let's keep going. See, the word of God is so powerful. You don't have to look anywhere. Just keep reading. If you don't understand anything, keep reading. You know, sometimes when you see a sentence or a verse, and say, oh, I don't understand, just keep going. Hallelujah. Because it tells us that he might make you know all of the experiences in the wilderness, the 40 years, all of their hunger, all of the manna that God poured from heaven. There is a purpose to it. The purpose is that he will make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. Now, what is happening here? God is using the natural things to point to the spiritual thing. He says you should not live by bread alone, but what? Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Now, you see, it's difficult for human beings to understand spiritual things if you don't use natural things to describe it. So God says that hunger you had in the wilderness, when I poured out the manna wasn't the real thing. That was to satisfy your physical need. But this hunger is pointing to another need, which is your spiritual need. And that spiritual need, the same way you hunger and you go for food. I want you to remember, every time hunger pangs come to you, don't just think of bread. Don't just think of, what are the other things you eat? Pasta and rice. Every time, see, manna is your pasta. It's your rice. It's your lamb. It's all the food and all the meats and everything. It says, but the reason you have lamb, the reason you have pasta, the reason you have hunger is to test you whether you remember that man shall not do what? Live by bread alone, but by every word. That is the same way that food nourishes your body. You are not a body. Did you know that? You see, the real you is your spirit. So if you don't remember, if you constantly feed your body and nourish your body, and you don't feed your spirit, which is the real you, the person has died. In fact, the person is dying. A person who is not being nourished with God's word, they think they are alive, but they are dead. This is what God is bringing out. He's bringing a connection between natural food and spiritual food. He's using that connection because the Bible, he knows the way you will grasp it if he uses natural food or natural things. Because natural things, natural reality points to spiritual reality. So every time, you know, I'll get home today, we're going to have dinner. As soon as dinner is being prepared, what should I be thinking? The word. My spirit has to be fed. It has to be. Glory to God. It says that you may know that man does not live by what? By bread alone. Do you know many people, many believers, they live by bread alone. They don't desire the word of God. They don't crave the word of God. You know, bread also means everything you need in life for your physical body, money, your bills paid. That's all bread. God is not saying it's not important, but the spiritual controls the natural. That's what happens. You are a spirit. Did you know that you're a spirit? Let me just show you a scripture. Do you have 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And we're beginning a series today titled Natural Food and Spiritual Food. Amen. So it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, how? Completely. See, this is a complete you. Then it tells you what completely means. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the day or at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Did you see that your spirit, soul, and it's not the other way around. It's not body, soul, and spirit. You know people, they type things and say body. No. The Bible always writes spirit, soul, and body. Because it's the spirit first. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So if I'm only eating natural food, I'm only feeding my body. You know, it's like, when we were in the military school, one of the first things you learn is how to polish your shoes. By the time, you know, you're given a master. So as soon as you go into the school, as soon as you enter, they give you a master to serve. And you will wash his uniform, starch the uniform, iron the uniform. In fact, all your engagements, most of your engagements, will be about your master's appearance. Your master has to look good. Amen. And you'll be looking forward to the day you become what? A master yourself. And so you will learn how to do all of those things, but the shoes are particular. You will have to polish the shoes, and then there's something we call boot rag. Do you know what boot rags are? You get a boot rag, and then you begin to touch the polish. Some people have never seen polish before. Eh? And so after you've polished the shoes and used the brush and everything, you've done it, then you get the boot rag, and you come to the tip of it. And you begin to do this. And what you want to happen is your teeth. You've got to be able to see your teeth in that thing. So there's a lot of work done to the shoes. But you know the shoes are useless without the person who's going to wear it. You can do all the decorating. In fact, the joy that you will have is when your master puts it on. And you know, some masters, they'll be comparing notes. You say, whoa, your boy is very good. Just because of the shoes, they think of you. And you know, that's what God is saying to these people. Don't polish the shoes so much that you forget the foot. Don't feed your body so much that you forget. Every time you're feeding the body, it should bring you a remembrance that I need what? I need spiritual food. And what's your spiritual food? The Word of God. The Word of God. Because it is the one that gives life. You see, the body has no life in itself. You know, when we say people died, what do you mean? They checked out. So really, when we bury people, what do we bury? We're not burying them. They're gone. You are burying the body. Oh, my God. Some people are saying, Pastor, don't say that. When I buried my dad. No. They are not there. Remember when they went to the grave to look for Jesus? Say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And so what happened is the Bible says that the spirit will return to who? It will return to God who gave it, and the body will turn to dust. Now, I want you to begin to grasp this. I want you to bring a reality to your mind that you begin to appreciate your spirit and appreciate spiritual food. Many of us, our spirits are being starved. Our spirits are malnourished. And we are wondering why things are not going so well around us. And you keep chasing more things to feed the body. Anytime there is a deficiency in your life, it is you point you that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's what we live by. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If I continue to desire the spiritual food, it will eventually give life to my body. You know, when God speaks and says, you shall not die, but you shall live to do what? To declare the word. It's not your body that takes the word. That word has to go to where? To my spirit. So when my spirit receives it, my spirit feeds on it, it begins to do what? Permeate my body. Glory to God. So he says that you will know that man shall not live by what? By bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Manna was not just to feel their natural hunger. Manna was to point to one thing. Did you know, and we will go this in this series as we go on, in John chapter 6, it's a very powerful, powerful chapter of scripture, John chapter 6. Jesus had just turned water, and what's it called? The 5 loaves, 2 fishes, he multiplied them. And after he multiplied them, guess what happened? You guess what happened? The people were chasing Jesus about. This man gave us food. He is the real thing. But giving them the food was what? To let them know that man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. So Jesus left and he actually walked on water to the other side, and they took boats to go and look for him. Wow, where's that man that gave us food for what? For their body. They were not thinking of their spirit. They were only thinking of their natural body. In fact, the Bible says in one place that they wanted to make him king. Whew. This king, his welfare policy will just be the best. Glory to God. But everything God does for you, if you enjoy any good thing from God, it is to remind you that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That the source of what God has done for you is his word. His word. Spiritual food has to have priority over natural food. And so what did they do? They came to Jesus, and Jesus began to tell them, say, I know why you came. Amen. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Come on now. No, 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 we didn't come for that one. I am the bread of life. He's letting them know the reason for that miracle is so that you can eat the real bread. The real bread. Wow. We're going to go into it, but let's keep going on this one. So he, Matthew 4. If you can feed your spirit, you will live. I'm telling you. If you can feed your spirit, your marriage will live. If you can feed your spirit, your children will live. If you can feed your spirit, your business will live. And you know, there is a way you can do things in your own power. If you're doing things in your own power, it will be hard. You'll be stressed. You'll be disturbed. But if it's happening because you're receiving the natural nourishment, it will flow effortlessly. How many people have, you know, after you ate, you're trying to find out how the food is going through? Is it the esophagus? As soon as you finish eating, you just say, oh, the food is going through the esophagus, and it's going through this, and then what? The digestive system. You know, you mention, do you do that? After you finish eating, what do? You just chill and watch a movie. That's what happens. You don't stress. You don't try to figure out how things will happen, how the nutrients will pass through the body. You don't figure it out. The same thing happens when you sit under the Word of God and the Word of God goes into your spirit. You don't have to figure out how things will happen. You don't have to think. Don't say, okay, maybe God is going to channel it this way. No, no, no. It's not your business. Your business is to eat the food. Do you know there are many things we worry about that we shouldn't worry about? Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. That man, that you will know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into where? Where were they for 40 years? The wilderness. So what is God trying to do? God is trying to show us the person who got it right. They didn't get it right. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't desire every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What were they desiring? Food. Food, food. In fact, in John chapter 6, which we will go through, not today, they said Jesus, he said, your fathers ate manna. Because they told Jesus, he said, but the Lord, Moses gave us manna. That's why we're coming to you. We see that you're a kind of Moses. Say, Moses gave us manna. Jesus said, your fathers ate manna, and they are what? They are dead. But the one who eats the manna that I give, say, I am the real manna. This is the true manna. The earthly manna was pointing to the real manna. The bread of life, which is the word of God. In the beginning, what? Was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then it goes on to tell us, and the word became flesh. So when Jesus said to them that you have to eat my flesh and drink. You know what happened? They disappeared. So no. We only came for natural bread. This one you're talking about, but they didn't realize that the spirit controls the natural. If you can feed the spirit, he will give you the enablement for everything you put into your body to sustain you. Wow. Wow. And so let's look at Jesus. He got it right. He was in the wilderness just like they were in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Did he tell them that it was a test? Your hunger is a test. He said, God made you hunger in the wilderness 40 years to test you. Now Jesus has been tempted and he's in the wilderness. And let's see what happens. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days, see, 40 years, for where Jesus wasn't going to fast for 40 years because his ministry wasn't going to be there for 40 years. But the 40 days is an indication. There is a connection between Deuteronomy 8 and Matthew 4. Big connection. And it's so vital to know it. And it says, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he was what? Did I tell you hunger was good? But let's see. See, whenever you feel hungry, what do? You go and get maybe your cornflakes, whatever your favorite meal is, you know, maybe your snacks. You put together, maybe you put on the toaster, and you put some jam, butter and jam. Or what do? Sandwich, tuna sandwich. What other sandwich do you have? You know the meal deals, amen. How many have bought the meal deal before? All kinds of sandwiches. You know, this is an aside thing. Sometimes I wonder, you know, there are some sandwiches that just go so quick. And then you go to the shop, all the one that is left is the one people don't eat. And I wonder, why do they keep bringing them? Have you ever wondered? You go to the shop, you know, Touche usually takes sandwich to school for his lunch. Sometimes I have to get it for him. And he has the one that he likes. I'm not going to tell the church. And when I go there, that one is the one that goes the fastest. And I'm spending time going through, you know, and people have scattered all the, you know, so you're trying to sniff through and all of that. Look at all the work that we put in to getting natural food. How much do you put into spiritual food? This is what he's saying. Every time you're searching for natural food, every time you go to Tesco, you go to Sainsbury's, you go to Marks and Spencer's, wherever you shop, and you go all through all the aisles, is to remind you that you should at least put equal amount of time and effort into the Word of God. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every word, every word. The Word of God is so crucial. It's what we need in the church. It's the reason for the church. The church is to teach the Word. That is our main priority. Glory to God. Woo! Just like Tesco must make sure they have all the things that you need. The church has to make sure that the Word of God is rich and the people must come in to receive the Word. So Jesus was hungry. Let's see what Jesus did now. Just assume you've never read this. Jesus was hungry. Now, when you're hungry, what do you need again? You need food. Okay. Now, when the tempter came, I told you that hunger is a test. It's a test. He said, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God. Now, that's already something you don't listen to. Say, if you are. How can he? There's not an if there. He is the Son of God. Command these stones to become bread. Now, think about it. He knows that Jesus is able to make stone to turn into bread. Why is it possible? I want you to think about it. Why is it possible to turn stone into bread? Stone is not food, but it's possible to turn stone into food. Why? Because the person who made the stone is the one who makes the bread. They came from where? The same source. Now, think about this. What he's trying to let you know is that your natural needs. You think I've got to stress myself for my natural needs. That's what I've got to focus on. I focus on getting things, making money, making all of the, you know, make all of that. I've got to focus on it. And then you tire out, you wear out, and everything happens to you. And then you come back home so tired. Oh, this life is just so, you know why? You are working it, but the God who has given you his word, it is from his word that the stone came from. Did you know that? How did God make everything? His word. Where did food come from? The word. So which one do you go? Will you run after the stone or run after the bread Or what should you go for? Which one do you go for? If you're wise, you go for the word, because the word is the source of everything. Whew. You know, the children, they're all grown now. Sometimes when they are little and then you give them, maybe you give them a biscuit. One piece of biscuit. How many do you have in the pack? Have you tried to count it? We don't know. No one has tried to count. You know, rich tea. Does anyone know? It's a quiz. But there's a lot there. At least, I would think, minimum, how many? 25. Yeah, a guess. About 25. Okay, so when you give your child one piece, so the child, and then you say, can I have a bite? No. But there's at least 25 in the pack. The person doesn't want to come to the source because you want to hold on to the one that you have. That's the same thing that happens to us. So Jesus, he says, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. You know, there are some miracles you don't need. Oh. If it was me that I can turn stone to bread, I would do it fast. There are many people, they started with the word. But now they saw miracles and signs. They left the word and went for signs and miracles. And signs and miracles never satisfy. Never, ever satisfy. But the word will satisfy you any day. Because inside of God's word is not just signs and wonders. Everything you will ever need for life and for godliness is in the word. You can tell I'm very passionate about God's word. And it's only when you go for the word that people cannot deceive you. Do you know if you go for things, you will be deceived? Thank you, Jesus. So he said, it stills to bread. Look at verse 4. But he answered and said, it is what? It is written. Where is it written? Deuteronomy chapter 8 that we just read. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus caught it. Jesus understands it, that my hunger is not an indication that I just need physical food, so nobody can tempt me to go for things above the word. The word must always be my priority any day. I've shared the testimony with us when we were trusting God for children, and one of the guys who was at our wedding, and this was the time we were already, my wife and I were getting into the word of faith. That the word of God has everything. We can get everything. We were just starting. Maybe from around 1992. I've been Christian for many, many years. But that's when we started getting into it. Started reading books about faith, about the word of God. Hallelujah. And now, the doctor says you can't have children. You see, what is that news supposed to do? It is to test you whether you will live by bread alone or by every word. Not only did when the message was given, and that's why I cherish my wife, one of what links my wife and I is the word of God, primarily. Amen. You know, so I really cherish her because the word is so important to us. The word has done everything for us. Everything. And so I came back because the problem was not my wife. The problem was, the issue was me, isn't it? And up till the time I went for the test, I thought the issue was her. The Bible says to humble you. Amen. So that I did all of these things. You know, I never in my wildest dreams Never. In fact, it was because of the person who asked us to go for the test, that's why I went. I would have asked only my wife to go for the test. But then now, it's just so now, I said, the doctor said, do you want me to call your wife? I said, no, I will tell her myself. Amen. That's humility. And so she said, yeah, we've been studying the word. That's exactly what she said. That was her answer. She didn't even say, hey, oh, my life is over. Yeah. You know, women like drama sometimes. I knew it. The other day, my friends were saying, watch that guy. Don't marry that guy. You know, you begin to say all kinds of things, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. She said, that's why we've been studying these things. We're going to trust God. She said, the Bible says, there shall none be barren. That's exactly what she said. You know this, it changed my life. It changed my life because I went back, I thought, wow. Because before telling her, I've been imagining many things. The devil will telling your wife will leave you. Then you start imagining the kind of man she will go to. Amen. But look at what she said. The word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's what Jesus answered, because he recognizes that I'm not going to allow anybody to tempt me with natural food. There are some people, all they need to bring is bring some money, and you're already tempted. You are gone. All your Christianity vanishes. Because when that money came to bribe you or to cause you to do what you are not supposed to do, you didn't remember. Man shall not live by bread alone. And it happens in every other area. If I'm about to do something that I should not, maybe if you're a man, you go into a woman, you go into a man that is not yours, and all of those things. Anytime you want to do anything, it is what? To test you. You say, but it's my body. My body can't. Let me tell you, your body is your body. Your body is not you. Come on now. If you're struggling with anything in your body, it means there is a deficiency. There is your spirit is starved. Because if your spirit is fed, it will rule over your body. What did God say to Cain? When Cain was displeased, you know, he was angry when his offering was not accepted. He got angry. God came to Cain and said, Cain, why are you angry? Do you know anger, if you are constantly angry, it means your spirit is not fed. There is no food in your spirit, so your body will misbehave. Man shall not live by bread alone. Anytime something is happening in my body that is not right, it is an indication. It is a hunger for food. My spirit is hungry. And so what I do is that I try to use means and leave the word. Well, you see, the word is the answer. Once I get fed, you know, feeding on the word, another thing is people want to go, that's why I said miracles and signs are not there. Because what happens is you just go and get it. And then you disappear. But the word is a constant thing. You know how food is? You have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some of you have breakfast and dinner, whatever one. But it is a regular, consistent thing. There's nothing like, you know, okay, when I'm 40, I will stop eating. Now, there's also some people say, well, you know, I've been going to church all this time. You know, people told me when the church at some stages, they used to come and say, Pastor, it's just the word. Every time we come, it's the word. I say, what else? Woo! Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And so, I told my wife, we began to stand on the word, just began to declare that word, began to declare that word. And I always say that the rest, as they say, is history. Is history. How did it happen? No, I said, you don't walk out and say, oh, then I ate the food, then it went through the digestive tract, then it went through the abdomen, then it went through the... No, you don't do that. All you do is what? Eat. I've shared with you before that Toby was a baby who didn't want to eat. We should be happy, isn't it? And say, oh, we wouldn't have to spend money on, is it SMA or what they call them? Aptamen. Yo, did we have that one in those days? I think we have one that say Milupa. Because we had to keep buying all these things. And when we took him back to Nigeria, you know, it cost us even more money because you had to go for where they were selling the quality one. So I had to drive a long distance to go and get it. It was far from where we lived. So I should be telling my wife, thank God, God gave us a child who doesn't eat. But we know that his body needed food. So what we will do? My wife, I will carry him, and I'll be dancing. Wow. Real dance. I'm talking dance. And I composed a song for him. I don't want to embarrass him and sing the song. I composed my own special song for him. It starts with, he's my baby boy. And I will do, dum, 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 dum. These are the things I had to do for him to eat. And my wife will bring the spoon, and then I will blow the mouth. Like, my wife will put it and say, hey, we'll be smiling just because he took a spoon. There are many of you, God has been trying to get you. He's been dancing, moving up and down, doing that, moving heaven and earth to get you to take a spoonful of his word because he knows. You need it. We need the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every word. The word of God is all you need. Praise God. Whew. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. What am I doing? I want you to, the same way that God said, I've elevated my word above my name, I want you to elevate the word of God above everything else. Everything else. Put everything else down and take the word. The word is the master. The Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. When they saw Jesus, what were they seeing? They were seeing the word. Because it's the word that became flesh. The spirit. That's why Jesus said it is a spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. That is, if you are feeding the flesh and you're not feeding the spirit, it is zero, zilch. Because man shall not live by what? By bread alone, but by every word of God. Thank you, Master. Oh, glory to God. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, see now, they are spirit. Their life, the word of God, you know, I believe God is going to begin to bring people into our midst, into our church for the word. That is food indeed. That is food indeed. The word of God is real food, real nourishment. It will fill your body. You don't have to worry about anything. Just take in the word. It will start doing its work. There's a song that you used to sing. It said, let the word do the work. Let the word do the work. That is how the word of God is. We cherish the word of God. We value the word of God over and above everything. And so, you know what happened? I told you, I was just sharing with you. And so this young man came. He came to see my wife and I. In the evening, we just returned from work. He said, I noticed that, you know, I was at your wedding and you haven't had any children. That's not the end of it. He said, I know a pastor. No, he said, I know a prophet who can make you have children. Thank God we were already going into the word. This is what I'm saying. You don't need me, you need the word. You don't need any human being. A person is bread. What you need is the word. Thank you, Jesus. And so he said, so the, you know, he was thinking, well, he will go. He said, I'll take you to him and all that. I said, so he has children that he gives. He gives children. I think he was kind of, my wife was there, we were sitting down. And then what we told her, well, I think my wife or myself, I said, we have children already. See, they are inside. Very soon, they will come out. Hallelujah. And this is not just for you. This is, see, he came to tempt us. He's telling us that there is a prophet, is a test, whether we will go after bread or we will go after the word. It's a test. So your friends come and tell you and say, oh, there's a miracle happening here. You don't need it. The Bible says, he said, the kingdom of God is not low here. People don't read their Bible. You see, you need to read the word of God. It's not low here. Low here means, oh, there it is. Then you run. See, there it is again. See, the word, the kingdom of God is where? Taking the word inside you. Taking the word. And I'm going to close with this. Luke chapter. Okay, we won't go there. You know the story of Mary and Martha. You know the story of Mary and Martha. What happened? Natural food, spiritual food. Is natural food important? But when, which one it takes precedence? So Jesus said to her, no, let's see what Jesus did. What verse is it? Verse 40. Go to verse 40. Are you in verse 40? But Martha was what? Distracted. Anytime there is the word and you don't choose it, you're already distracted. True distraction is that you left the word for something else. So he said, Martha was, why would you call her distracted? Martha wouldn't say she was distracted. I am busy making what? Food. So I'm not distracted. I'm doing what I set out to do. Because you have to be doing something else than what you set out to do for people to say that you are distracted. But you see, as God is concerned, he believes you are, to him, you are distracted. So he said, with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? Can you imagine saying that Jesus doesn't care? Amen. That my sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, do what? Tell her. You know, sometimes you think you are right, but you are actually wrong. He says, tell her to help me. Next verse. And Jesus answered, Martha, Martha, you are what? Worried. See, when people go for the word, they are never worried. People who go for spiritual food, one of the things that it will remove from your life is worry. It will remove fear. It will remove fretting. Because your mind is on the word of God. It says you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen it. So also, look at it again. It's comparing natural food to spiritual food, and it's saying you've got to prioritize the one that, you see, that food, your food will always be there. In fact, sometimes the challenge we are having is to not eat the natural food, amen, isn't it? Most of the challenge we have is not to eat. But one thing about how come the word of God is the one people don't really have a hunger for? That tells you it is of the spirit. That's why you need teachers like this to get you to hunger for the word. You say, which will not be taken away from her. Not be taken away from her. All of the miracles that Jesus did, when you read the scripture, you find out as he was teaching, as he was teaching, and people came, the Bible will say the power of God was present to heal them. As you are hearing the word right now, listen to me, you can be healed in your body because you are taking nourishment. The Bible says it is what? It is medicine to your body. It is refreshing for your soul, your bones. The word of God is able to correct all the things that need to be corrected in your life as you take in the word of God. And then I close with this. Hallelujah. Thank God for Toke. Come on now. Hallelujah. She's doing an amazing job. She's one of those that came out of the word of God. Faith in the word. That's why, you know, I cherish everything God gives me. I love my children and I cherish them so much. You know, I don't, you know, maybe some of you, because your children just came out, poop. So you don't really know. Well, for people like us, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Something to cherish, to appreciate God. Hallelujah. So in Luke chapter 16, let's see what happens here. You know the story of the. We'll leave it there. We'll do this one next on Friday. So this is to say that everyone who is here, you'll have to be at Farnham Common on Friday. So we'll continue the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We worship you. We appreciate you. Thank you for bringing this truth. Thank you for reminding us, Holy Spirit, of what is most important. Father, I thank you because we will go from here making your word priority in our lives. That every need that comes, that we will see it and know that it is indeed a test, that we may know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And if there's